I was in the Heather's room trying to fix something one time when she was the secretary, and John and two or three others come running in there. I think Margaret was kind of like, don't let him do it. Don't leave it to get, just, he's going to break something. Oh, glory to God. I mean, you know, you go over and kind of bump on it, then blow on it. After that, I can't fix it. Well, let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Glory to God. I'm better. Wisdom and years of experience and YouTube, I'm better at fixing things. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse number 6. It said, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. How many of you know that's good advice? For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Now, anytime you see the word land, because you see it not only in the Old Testament, and not only in Deuteronomy and Exodus, but you see it in the Psalms, you see it in the New Testament, you ought to automatically recognize he's talking about, of course, the promised land. And the promised land is a type of our rights and privileges in Christ Jesus. The promised land is a type of everything that belongs to us because we're born-again Christians. The promised land is a place where the promises of God come true in your life. It's our new covenant reality, our new covenant that we have with Jesus. We're living in our promised land. Jesus has delivered us and set us free. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So it says again, verse number 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you to a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, of springs that flow out of the valleys. Oh, glory to God, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. A land of which you will eat bread without scarcity. In our promised land, we have abundant provision. God takes care of us. God provides for us. God blesses us. God has healed us. God has delivered us. In which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose heels you shall dig copper. Glory to God. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Now he says, beware, beware. Now at this particular point, they have not stepped one single foot into the promised land. And he's telling them this before they ever get there. And he gives this warning. Well, if he gives this warning, then it must be necessary to give. So he says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full, and satisfied, my cross-reference said, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, well, you know, like the promised land is a type of everything that belongs to us in Christ Jesus, Egypt is a type of bondage. Egypt is a type of the world. And Pharaoh's a type of the devil. Thank God we've been delivered from the devil, and we've been delivered from the world, and we've been delivered from bondage. Glory to God. So he says, thank God. Remember, don't forget, like Christina was talking about when she was up here, it's exactly what she was saying. Don't forget that you've been brought out of the land of bondage from Egypt, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water. Who brought forth water out of the rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power, see if you forget God and quit living for God and just enjoy the blessings, but forget about what got you the blessings, then say my power, verse 17, and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, glory to God, in this day. So I think this is really interesting. Like I said, this is before they've ever stepped foot into the promised land. They're not enjoying any of the benefits of the promised land yet. And yet he's saying, look, you're going to be so blessed there. You're going to be in right relationship with God there. You're going to have victory over the enemy there. You're going to enjoy blessings there. You're going to eat and be satisfied. God's going to provide for you. God's going to protect you. God's going to take care of you. Glory to God. And he's the one that gave you the land. Just like, you know, they didn't do anything for it. They just possessed it. Just like we just possess the grace of God. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But we're saved and we're delivered and we're set free. And we're enjoying our promised land blessings in Christ Jesus, all because of what Jesus did for us. And so he says, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Remember him, for it is he that gives you the power to get wealth. Now, with that in mind, let's turn over to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23, it was under Joshua's leadership. You know, he's the one that actually led them into the promised land. This is at the end of the book of Joshua. So this is chapter 23, only 24 chapters. And so here, Joshua is 110 years old. He's about to go home to be with the Lord. He knows that his time has come. He's lived to be an old man. And so he's about to die. And this is the last things he says to the people of Israel. Amen. That are in the promised land enjoying the blessings. So let's read this beginning with verse number 1. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel. Well, see, if you're to rest means you're delivered from the enemy. They've entered their promised land. The promised land and rest are synonymous terms. You're delivered from the enemy. You still have enemies, but you have victory over them. You're in right relationship with God. You're enjoying healing and health and provision and blessings and protection, all of that. He's given rest to Israel. See, Moses was saying, before you ever get there, this is what God's going to do for you. Now they've gone into the land. They possess the land. It belongs to them. There's a few pockets of resistance that they're still going to dispossess. But for the most part, they're living in their homes and enjoying the provision of the promised land. And so Joshua says, God has given you rest from all your enemies around you. And Joshua was old, advanced in age. Verse 2, and Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, those who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them or bow down to them, but you shall cleave, the King James says, New King James says, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God. The word cleave there means you shall hold on to tightly. You know, if you tell somebody, hold on, you know, sometimes we're in the boat and we'll say, hold on, here comes a big wave. Here comes, you know, hold on. And the word cleave actually means to stick to like glue. Like you'd glue something together and it adheres. It becomes, you know, it's you just stuck to it. So he says, hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you this day. And in the new covenant, no demon, no devil from hell can stand against you if you walk in your covenant rights. One man of you shall chase a 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Amen. This isn't particularly relevant to my message, but I like verse number 14. It says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you shall know, and you know in all your hearts and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass, and not one word of them has failed. Glory to God. So these people are experiencing great victories, walking in right relationship with God, enjoying the blessings of God. And Joshua is about to die, and he comes along and tells them, listen, I need you to keep this in mind. Now remember that they are actively serving God. That they're under the old covenant. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're living for God. They're obeying God. They're trusting in God. They're not in any kind of backslidden condition. That man, they're white hot for God. Then everything's going good for the nation of Israel. But he says, you know, even though you're experiencing all these blessings and plenty and healing and health and victory and living in the land of promise, I want you to continue to have rest. I want you to finish your course. I want you to continue all the days of your life to walk in these blessings. And for you to do that, then you're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to, really, he tells them three things. And we read it there, but throughout the rest of chapter 23 and on into 24, he basically tells them three things. He says, you need to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. You need to cleave unto him. You need to stick to him like glue. You need to follow him and pursue him. If you're going to continue to walk in these blessings and enjoy these blessings, then you need to cleave unto the Lord your God. Number two, you need to make sure that you are not influenced by the world. He talks about all these ungodly nations. See all these other people. Yes, you welcome into your land, but you're not, you know, if they're a stranger, but you're not going to worship their God. You're not going to serve their gods. That will bring about great devastation and ruin in the land because there's only one God. That's the Jehovah God, our God, the God of the Israelites. And so he says, so he's telling them over and over again, and you could just spend all afternoon on this one subject because you see the Israelites make this mistake over and over and over again. He's saying, listen, if you associate with them, you're gonna believe their views. You're not going to serve me. You're going to worship their idols, and that's going to bring devastation to the land. So he tells them, do not do that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and do not associate with all these ungodly nations and pick up their worldly views and their worldly attitudes and live like they live and believe like they live and do all of those kind of things. Are you listening to me? Praise God. And just, this is so important to us because, you know, under the New Testament, you know, two different times God tells New Testament Christians, he tells them to not worship an idol. Christians, born again Christians, he said, don't serve idols, don't worship idols. Somebody says, I've never even seen an idol. But I like from the Amplified Bible, it says, an idol is anything that you venerate or love more than you love God. If you put, it can be anything. If you put something before God in your life, then it's an idol to you. And so the Israelites, they made this mistake over and over again. I think it's a very sad scripture when it talks about King Solomon. It says he loved many women from all these foreign nations. And it says they turned his heart away from God. That's a very sad scripture. And so, you know, we live in a day and age where people call good evil and evil good, and evil is celebrated, truth is mocked, and darkness is defended. How many of you know that's true? But glory to God. So this is a big, big deal. He says, don't do that. He warns them about that. Cleave unto the Lord your God. Love him. Take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Make sure that you don't go after these other nations. Don't, in the New Testament terms, don't, you know, it says evil communications, evil associations will corrupt you. Make sure that you don't develop worldly attitudes and worldly philosophies and seek after false gods and live after the world and go after the world. That'll take you out of the land of promise, the land of blessing. And then number three, he says you need to continually step out in faith and obey God. That's what he really emphasizes over and over and over again. Are you following me? Have you ever been reading the Old Testament? I know you probably have, and just get frustrated with the Israelites. I mean, just get ticked off at them. I mean, you know, they're serving God, they're living for God, and they're blessed, and they're enjoying provision and victory over their enemies and enjoying the blessings of the promised land. And then they do exactly what God told them not to do. They quit living for God. They start worshiping. They intermingle with other people that God told them not to do. They adopt their gods. They adopt their worldly philosophies. They don't live according to the plan that God gave them. And you know the whole story. And then they go downhill. And all of a sudden, they're in bondage again. Some other enemy army comes in and defeats their army and you know, takes over their country. And they're like servants to them. Or eventually, you know, they get taken away, completely taken away from their land into captivity. But, you know, during these off times, then they'll turn around and repent and say, oh, we're wrong, we missed it. And they repent and they turn back to God, and God in His great mercy forgives them, and they rise back up, and all of a sudden the blessings are flowing again, and they have victory over their enemy again, and there's a good king, and they're worshiping God like they should, and everything good goes good for them. And a few years goes by and they forget all about God. Start, you know, living for the devil again, so to speak, and things go downhill. And they do this, and they do it, and they do it, and they do it, and they do it, and you want to wring somebody's neck. What is the matter with you? You know, but I'm telling you, you know, I've been pastoring, you want to scream at them, but I've been pastoring almost 50 years. And I've seen people come to the Lord, and, you know, people come to the Lord for different reasons, but their life's kind of in a mess to one degree or another. And maybe their family's in a mess, maybe their finances are in a mess, maybe both, maybe they're in a mess. Or maybe all three, you know, but nonetheless, they come to the Lord, they start coming to the church, and God just raises them up and raises them up and raises them up, and all of a sudden, you know, they become a very responsible person and a responsible citizen, and they're taking care of business and taking care of their family, and life is going good, and God is blessing them, and they're doing good. And then all of a sudden, they just flake off and do exactly what Joshua says, do not do, and they kind of forget God and don't remember God, and they just begin to think, and then they go downhill to one degree or another. And that's a very sad thing to experience as a pastor. And that doesn't mean that they just, some people just totally backslide and end up worse than they are. But others don't just totally backslide, but they just, you know, they just leave God out of their life. They don't finish what God started in them. They don't continue on with God. And so they stop growing spiritually, and they become worldly minded, and they forget about what's most important in life. Amen. And they don't go on and enjoy the blessings of God and be the blessing that they could be. Glory to God. I like something in Acts chapter 20. I've always liked this a lot. I know I'm reading long passages of Scripture, but these are so good. Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul. It says in Acts 20, 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when he had come to them, he said to them, you know, from this first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that chains and tribulation. Chains means they're going to put him in jail. They're going to put him in prison. And tribulations await me. Verse 24, I love this scripture. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race or finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You know, sometimes Christians grow lukewarm. Sometimes they lose their first love. Sometimes they get sidetracked, you know, and they don't serve God like they should and don't come to church regularly like they should. And they get sidetracked by the cares of life or the busyness of life or the deceitfulness of riches, or the desire for other things, or the pursuit of other things. And they just don't live for God like they should, and they're not as useful in God's kingdom as they could be. But Paul here has a different spirit, doesn't he? Paul knows, because people have prophesied to him, and he knows by the Spirit of God already that where he's going, that they're going to put him in prison when he gets there for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows that he's going to face hardship, and he's going to face persecution. And in his own spirit, I think Paul already knew, and they're going to kill me. Paul's response is, none of these things move me. Didn't bother me in the least. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race. He's talking about his spiritual race, or his spiritual course. So that I might finish my race. And really, what I really like is he said, I'm not just going to finish my race or finish my course. I'm going to do it with joy. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not going to get sidetracked. You know, Paul talks about people that got sidetracked. He talked about people, you know, that their faith was shipwrecked. He talked about people, you know, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved the world more than he loved. He says, I'm not going to let the world sidetrack me. I'm not going to do what Joshua told the Israelites not to do. He said, I'm not going to be, you know, sidetracked. I'm not going to be involved in the world. I'm not going to lose my first love. I'm going to stay on fire from God. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to do everything that God's called me to do, and I'm going to do it with great joy. Can you say amen? So Joshua here, you know, he's saying, he's giving his farewell address to the people, last words before he dies, and he says, listen, glory to God, you're walking with God. They're actively walking with God, but he says, I know that, but I want you to remember that if you forget God and go out and do your own thing, that these blessings and this victories that you're enjoying will slip out of your hands. So he says, I want you to love the Lord your God and cleave only to him. I want you to separate yourself from the ungodly, and I want you to, in faith, keep on obeying God's word. Glory to God. Can you say amen? See, all of these things will cause us today to continue to walk with God and to enjoy the benefits that come from walking with God, and will cause us to finish our race and finish our course. I'll go back to that word cleave. I like that word cleave. Cleave unto the Lord your God. In Genesis 20:24, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. Glory to God. It means to be attached to be devoted to, to keep close to stick to, like you're glued together. That's some problems with some marriages. They didn't leave and cleave. You got to leave before you can cleave. But you got to cleave. I like the Hebrew honey. Hebrew honey is just it's called the Hebrew honey because it helps you understand Hebrew words. And it says this word means to hang upon and thus express love, to cleave, to hang upon and thus express love. Those so in love with God make great Christians, and on them a church can be built. So we should all do this because, you see, God is our life. He is our salvation. He's our deliverance. He's our health. He's our success. He's our prosperity. He's our help. He's our all in all. Can you say amen? So I find it very interesting, and we'll go back and look at this. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, this is Moses, and Moses is at the end of his life, and he is talking to the people that are about to take the promised land. Amen. And so these are his final words toward the end of the book. You know, and we're very familiar with verse number 19. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose, everybody say choose. Life, that both you and your seed, that both you and your descendants may live. The word live there means to thrive and flourish. He's saying, listen, you know, if you back up in this chapter into verse number 14 or verse number 16, he says, see, I've set before you today life and death, good and evil. He's about to die. He's called all the people together there. And this is his last words to him. He says, look, you have a choice. You can experience blessings. You can experience God. You can experience, or you can life. You can experience death, or you can experience evil. And so he says in verse number 16, I have set before you life and death, good and evil, in that, in other words, this is the way you experience life and good, in that today you should love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. And so he says, verse 19 again, I call heaven and earth as a record against you this day. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may thrive and live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling. Does that kind of sound like cleave to you? That you may cling to him, for he is your life. He is your life. He's the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land. He's the reason that you can dwell in the land and prosper and have victory and be in right relationship with God and enjoy the rain, which is a type of the Holy Ghost, and enjoy the blessing, New Testament, enjoy the Holy Ghost and enjoy all the blessings that rightfully belong to you in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. He is your life. He is the length of your days. He is the blessings that you will receive in the land, which the Lord God swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. So glory to God. He is your life. People get caught up in a lot of things. And, you know, there's things I enjoy. I like to fish. I don't go as much as I used to, but I like to fish. I like to motorcycle ride. But it's not my life. Matter of fact, somebody gave me a really nice thing to go on my motorcycle, one of my motorcycles, on the side of it, you know, and it said, and Harley's big thing is, live to ride, ride to live. And I'm kind of like, I know that's just their slogan, but I don't live to ride. I don't ride to live. I enjoy riding, but I live for God. I live for God. Some people just live for their boyfriend, you know, or live for their girlfriend, or live for this hobby. And you know, some of those things in and of themselves may not be wrong, but they're not our life. God is our life, praise God. And we should cling to Him, glory to God, and enjoy His blessings. And so we see He warns us over and over again. He's saying, listen, listen, listen. Everything's going good in your life. You're enjoying the blessings of God. But I want you to live for God. I want you to finish your course. I don't want you to get sidetracked. You know, Paul, when he came to the end of his life, I didn't say that a while ago, I should have. But Paul, when he came to the end of his life, he could say this. Paul could say this because he said, listen, in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I've fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. We should all, at the end of our life as Christians, be able to say that we're finishers. We didn't just start. We got in the race, we stayed in the race, and we finished our particular race. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I finished my race. I've kept the faith. Glory to God. And so we should be finishers. Say, I'm a finisher. And we should finish our course. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, one last scripture here. Back to Joshua. Back to Joshua. You know what he told the people. It's very interesting. Here is Moses. This group of people that he's talking about, they and their parents have seen some of the greatest miracles since the beginning of time. The dividing of the Red Sea, the provision in the wilderness, all of these wonderful things they've seen. But Moses is saying, that's not going to make you remember God and live for God in the coming days. That's not going to cause you to finish your course. That's not going to cause you to become spiritual. And so what he says to, look, you've seen all of these things. You've experienced God in ways that most people will never experience Him. But when it's all said and done, whether or not you walk with God and finish your course and continue to experience the promised land blessings comes down to one simple thing, a choice. A choice. You choose. You choose this day. You choose. You choose. Glory to God. And for a New Testament believer, now if a New Testament believer is deceived, then he will operate and live according to the deception instead of according to the truth. But when you believe the truth, then you can't be deceived. But once you know the truth, see, if you know the truth that Satan and sin and sickness and disease and depression and fear and all have no more dominion, if you don't know the truth, then the lie will rule over your life. But once you know the truth, then it comes down to one thing. You choose. It's your choice. It's your choice whether you live for God or not. Choose. You know the truth that Jesus set you free, then it's your choice whether you're free or not free. You know that Jesus set you free from sickness and disease, then you choose. You choose. It's a choice. Everybody say it's a choice. It's a choice. So back in Joshua chapter 23, you know, in verses 12, he again tells them, we didn't read that a while ago, but he says, listen, if you go back and cling to the remnant of those nations, these remain among you and make marriages with them. In other words, if you fellowship with the world and adopt their philosophies, it's not going to go good for you. Verse 13, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out those nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you and scourges in your side and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Go right over into chapter 24. Now here's what I want you to see as we close this morning. Listen to this. He said, I've given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities for which you did not build, and dwell on them, and you eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Hallelujah. We're walking in the blessings of God. We didn't do anything to deserve them. We didn't do anything to earn them. For by grace are you saved through faith. We just receive the grace of God by faith. We just receive all that Jesus rightfully did for us and purchased for us. And he says in verse number 24, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth. Put away, see, he keeps emphasizing the same thing. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, Choose you yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that's a famous scripture, but I want you to see the context in which he said it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Say that out loud. Say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, too many Christians miss God, and they miss church, and they miss doing God's work, and they miss finishing their course for the sake of other things. Other things, I can't do that because I'm, and they start telling you all their excuses. But living for God and going to church and obeying God and finishing our course should be our excuse for missing everything else. I'm not going to get sidetracked by pursuit of money. Nothing wrong with money. We all need money. Thank God for money. Praise God. I'm not going to say that. But there was a time in my life that I wasn't worth two nickels. But I'm worth a whole lot more than that now. So we're not against money. You understand that, prosperity. But we're not gonna get sidetracked by all these other things. We should choose God. We should choose to serve God. He is our life. And so for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It has made a difference in my life. It has made a difference in Margaret's life. It's made a difference in our daughter's life. It's made a difference in our grandkids' lives. And it's made a difference in our great grandkids' life. And it'll make a difference in our great-great-grandkids' life. Can you say amen? Stand up with me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. A choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. Glory to God. Yes, you can say something. It's a choice. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Just in the last thing that he was saying, this is a conversation that I've had with a few different people in recent months about reaping harvest off of seed that we have not sown.
Yeah.
And meaning the faithfulness of them to do what God called them to do, trickling down to the faithfulness of what God called them to do, that then came down to us being faithful in what God has called us to do and living in obedience and walking in the statutes and the precepts of God. It's made an impact and a difference in our lives substantially and made a difference in our children's lives substantially. And so I've been in such a place of gratefulness because I am living proof of their faithfulness. I'm walking in an abundance. Of course, we are tithers, we're sowers, we're like I said, obedient to do what God has called us to do. But we have stepped into things that we did not labor for. Let that be the testimony of your family, of your children, of your children's children. It's an inheritance. Amen? And so we have reaped harvest off of seed that we have not sown because of the faithfulness of what they have been obedient to do. Let that be your testimony. Amen? Let that be the testimony of your lineage. Generations coming after you can say, because they did this, I'm here. Amen?
Praise God. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bow your head, close your eyes just for a moment. Praise God. I know we have a mature group here this morning, a small group and a mature group. We got any decisions you need to make? You know, I've had people just come up to me and just tell me point blank as the pastor say, Pastor, we've decided not to come to church very much anymore. I'm going, okay. Why? Glory to God. It's for me and my house. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. I choose to, when I hear the word, I can choose to believe it or I can choose to reject it. When I hear the word of God, I can choose to believe it or I can just go my own way. No, I choose to believe. I choose to obey God. I choose to live God. And because it's Phil Driscoll used to say, there's no high like the Most High. In other words, it's the greatest thing. I mean, I'm not suffering living for Jesus. I'm enjoying life. I'm blessed, praise God. Glory to God. I mean, you know, certain things you suffer, but I'm not suffering anything that Jesus bought and paid for me at Calvary. I don't have to suffer that. Glory to God. So if you need to make any choices in your heart, just do that this morning. You can just do that right there and say, I choose. I choose. So many things. We counsel. Somebody called me yesterday about somebody that was, and they said they have such a problem with anger. And I was talking to them. They go, yeah, but this guy's, you know, like slam somebody's head up against the wall and half kill him. And I said, I don't understand. But I said, you know, you're going to have to choose to believe as a Christian that Jesus set you free and that you are free. You believe that and you choose to say, I am not an angry person. And you walk in. See, that's what it means to walk in the light of what you know. Because the Word of God tells you to be not angry, therefore I am not angry, or whatever it is. So much. You know, we try to do a lot of things sometimes and send people off to a lot of programs and cast devils out of people sometimes right and left. But sooner or later, you're going to have to make the right choice based on the truth that you know, that you believe. Make the right choice based on the truth you do believe. Make the right choice based on the truth that you do believe. And all will go well. Can you say amen? Say the Lord is good. It's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.